Are we recording?
We are. We are on and cracking.
Well, hey, everybody. It's Everything's Fine. I'm Dallas.
I'm Travis.
Yeah, right? You get right back into the groove,
right,
bro.
It's like riding a bike.
If I sound like I'm eating, it's because I am, so I apologize. I'll try not to be so disgusting about it. In fact, I'm not going to eat anymore. I'll save it.
Are you sure? You said it's delicious.
It's so good. The kebab shop. They should be a sponsor.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to do this podcast again this year, but
hey,
once a year is enough.
If we can figure out a time when we're eating even to do it, that's fine. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's
we have physically
fitting it into our lives.
Well, listen, if you're listening right now, thank you.
Yes.
If you're still subscribed, you probably are like, no, this has got to be an error that an episode popped up in the feed.
But, the Russians.
The Russians have hacked.
Everything's fine.
But it's Everything's Fine. Episode whatever and ever. We don't even know.
We should look. Should I look?
If you want to.
Yeah,
well, you can look
while
I'll explain this.
Okay.
It's not that we didn't want to do the pod. We definitely did want to do the podcast. It's just trying to find time was really difficult. And we appreciate, I don't know if you got a couple messages and emails. But I did. Yeah, I've gotten
surprising,
a few.
Surprising, actually.
And from people who were like, dude, where are you guys? We need to kind of get some levity. And I appreciate that because, you know, it feels like we did maybe make some kind of an impact on people. And that does make me want to do it more.
Yes.
We won't, but that does make me want to do it more. So, yeah, what episode is it? Did you
look? This is 119.
119.
Yeah.
So, basically, I texted you last week and was like, dude, we got to do this or I'm going to explode.
Yes.
And you were like, me too.
Yeah.
But you were on vacation.
I was.
Otherwise.
The river in Parker, Arizona.
The river.
Where my in-laws have a trailer that we stay in.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's not. It's like a trailer.
It's a meth house.
Yes.
Yeah, we get it.
Exactly.
So anyway, we're talking. And I don't know where you want to start. Because the last time we talked was right after the inauguration, the Million Woman March or whatever it was.
Yes, it was. The episode 118 was called Alternative Facts.
Yeah, that was like the launch of the Alternative Facts movement.
Yes.
And the march for women. And that was the last thing that we talked about. And it seems like that was 25 years ago, but it was only like 6 months ago.
It was in January. So 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime has passed.
Really?
See, now
I feel like no time has passed.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be an interesting episode.
Yeah. I think it, of course, they are all interesting, Dallas.
Well, listen, I want to let the listeners know a couple things right off the top. It's been a lot has happened in the 8 months. Well,
that you condemn neo-Nazis? Is that what you want to let them know right off the bat?
I don't condemn anybody.
listen, I feel like that's how you have to start off everything nowadays. Like, just before we start, I condemn white supremacies, neo-Nazis, and what's the other one? The KKK. Oh, of course. Can't forget the KKK.
Well, I'll tell you, Travis, there's a lot of good people on both sides.
Yeah, because if I don't say that right now, I am one.
There are, you know what's funny is on Twitter, there are a lot of people with their pinned tweets are literally them condoning those groups. So the first thing you see on their profile is them condemning those groups.
Oh, condemning. You said condone.
No, like, condemning.
I support the KKK.
Well,
I'm not
the
KKK, but
I've done a lot of really interesting things.
Yeah. For fashion.
For fashion, exactly. But it's been a big 8 months. I've been working at a new position part-time with the Voice of San Diego folks who house the Kept Faith, which is a sports podcast that Travis and I co-host. And I've been kind of living in the world of podcasts, and finally we found a time when we could do this. And also, Voice of San Diego is an interesting place to be because I've gotten to kind of rub noses a little bit with some local politicians.
Yes.
And one of them is, I'm not going to call him up by name, but he's a Republican city councilman. He appeared on the Kept Faith podcast, so that would be kind of calling him up by
name.
He's
Republican?
Yeah, right?
I didn't know
Chris
that.
Kate.
Well, he's Republican for Southern California.
So, well, yeah. And so I...
That's a relative.
When he was on the Kept Faith Live podcast, he said that he was Republican, and I did not know that. And so I was like, how can you be Republican still? Because I'm a registered Republican, albeit not of this kind of party, the party that I liked when I became a Republican.
The Lincoln Republicans. The
Lincoln
ones that ended slavery. Yes.
The actual Republicans.
Yes.
And I was like, man, how do you navigate being a Republican politician these days? So I actually got coffee with him.
Yeah.
And we chatted for a long time, and it was a very interesting conversation where he basically said, yeah, you go to these Republican meetings and there's, you know, there's the MAGA people, and then there's the people who are like, I can't believe that Donald Trump's our president. What are we supposed to do? He falls into the latter category. And and he was like, you know, it's hard, you know, because you want it to make sense. So,
because the elephant is a scarlet letter nowadays. Would you not say?
Is.
Yeah, you can't. There's so much baggage that comes.
I
with that.
Tell people here at Voices of San Diego that I'm a Republican, and they literally go, "Huh?" Like, it doesn't make sense that I would be working at a place like this, but also be a Republican,
right? Because this is a nonprofit, you know,
it's very
independent journalism,
NPR kind of place, and they are. Although very impartial in their writing, I mean, they're not, you know, they don't take any positions. They are definitely all thinking the same wavelength, basically, which is fine. But here's the thing, Trav. I don't know where to start other than to let me say this.
Okay.
Being as where I've worked for the last not eight months, but being as where I've been for a while now, I can't stand that Donald Trump is our president. I think it's his. Awful as we could have imagined it to be.
Oh, really?
I mean, it could be worse.
I mean, I'm not trying to stop you in the middle of that, but that is
on the base.
It could be a whole lot.
Well,
worse.
We haven't gotten through the first year yet.
Yeah, but
I'm. It's embarrassing that he is the guy who's in charge, and because listen, here's the thing. He could like, and I'm not saying, and this is why I want to preface it this way. I'm not saying that he. He's the guy doing all the bad stuff because that's the problem. And like we've talked about on this podcast a million times, the people who are actually doing the bad stuff are like the people in Congress, the Paul Ryans, the Mitch McConnells, the people who are actually getting bills passed and written and pushed through. Well, no, but they're trying. But Donald Trump has nothing to do with that other than coming out going, you guys got to do it.
Right. Well, let's really get into the substance of this, because what are the horrible things that have happened since Donald Trump has been president? Besides, and before I even get into this, I have to back up and preface, I do not like Donald Trump as president. I am in no way like making the argument why he's a good president or none of that's true. But to keep everything in the scope of reality, what are the horrible things that have happened since he's been president?
Well, so here's the thing.
Besides saying stupid stuff.
That to me is the worst part.
Well, how does that affect anything?
Because we know that he's created more jobs than any president that's ever lived in the history
ever.
Of presidency.
Yeah, and the very fact that he sits in the Oval Office makes the stock market just shoot through the roof.
Yeah. The growing. I mean, yes, it started in 2016, but blah 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 blah.
Yeah, and he has a winery.
And he has a winery that came out and said they don't ever work with him, which is amazing. That to me is what is the problem, is that he is just unbelievably horrible. Like as a person who speaks with words and who lives and exists, he's the worst version of America. Like when you make fun of Americans, he's the person that you create. Like he's the only thing missing for anyone who does caricatures of Americans is the Southern accent. That's the only thing missing from Donald Trump. He is a moron, and my problem is that the people who support him, like the MAGA supporters, especially on Twitter,
you're right.
They cannot figure it out. Like they support him so blindly. Although, like you said, nothing actually bad has happened, and nothing good has happened.
Nothing has happened.
Nothing has happened. So the problem is that the only thing that's happened is that we have a moron as the most, you know, quote unquote, powerful person in our country. And then he has these supporters, this army of supporters who could, this is a perfect example. We all right now could be eating tuna salad, right? Like everyone in the country, we have tuna salad in our bowls and we're looking down, we're like, oh, tuna salad. And then he comes out and he's like, no, we're eating egg salad. And then the supporters are like, oh my God, look at this egg salad. Donald Trump said we're eating egg salad. We're eating egg salad. No, it's tuna. We're clearly eating tuna. Donald Trump said it's egg salad. He is the Lord Commander of all that is good and worthy. It's egg salad.
What in actuality, it's probably a tuna salad with egg. And everybody is yelling at each other from either side over which there's more of, either tuna or egg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who gives a flying rat's ass?
Yeah.
It's ingredients in the salad. Like,
well, it'd be the grossest salad.
Because here, to counteract what you're saying.
Sure.
If he is ignored, almost anything that he's done, if it's ignored, there's of no consequence. So we have this moronic president who says really stupid things that gets amplified beyond, like, audible tolerance. Like, it's hard to listen to by the vitriol of the anti-Trump people.
Sure.
Like, the Trump supporters have nothing if there's not this something to bounce off of, which is the anti-Trump people. I mean, literally every single day, it's a report on what Trump said today. And go back 10 years to Bush. Like, Bush would go away for literally 3 weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. There'd be no news about the president for 3 weeks, and nobody cared.
Yeah.
So nobody why cared. All of a sudden does something that a moron says, like, if Bush was saying stupid stuff every day,
yeah,
I think people probably would have reacted the same way. But at the same time, it's not of any consequence. 90% of what he says is of zero consequence.
Yes. Here's the problem. He's the president. That's why people care about it. That's why they care about it.
If
it
was like
Brad, if Brad Pitt came out every day and said something crazy, no one would care because Brad Pitt.
Well, certain people would care.
I mean, certain people, but not to this degree. But if George Bush came out every day and said something moronic, we would all be talking about it because the president, the man that we, well, I didn't vote for him, but the man that was elected president comes out every day or tweets something moronic.
Tweets.
Moronic.
Yes. Spelled incorrectly. Like, he's kind of like me with the Twitter, like, as far as the misspellings. Which
I think people are just fascinated with how stupid he is. And the fact that so many people were duped into this, right? Isn't that fascinating to you? That so many people were duped into voting for this guy?
No, I don't think that is fascinating. And I don't think that they were duped. And I don't think that they feel like they were duped. We talked about this when the election was
I've had a few people apologize.
They voted against Hillary.
Sure.
That's
well,
it.
Well, she wrote emails.
And I will say it again. I've posted it on Facebook in the many debates I've had. Not many, a few. That the main reason he won, in my opinion, and from the people I know who voted for him, was because they wanted to spite the hate towards him.
They're all morons.
That's beside the point. Like, the people that aren't morons are not figuring out how to make this go away. It's like, regardless how idiotic Trump is, he is being empowered by the vitriol response
100%.
To what he says.
So this is what's fascinating.
So you might say that the people are morons that support him.
Yeah.
But the people that are anti him are insane. Literally insane.
For keeping
doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting something different to happen.
Well, both sides are insane. Because I'm telling you, I read those the pro-Trump people who just spout off these crazy stats that don't exist.
Right.
But they believe them. Like, that's
totally
incredible to me.
Yes. They're alternative facts.
The collection of people that he has put around him, Trump, as his cabinet, or like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like the just insanity that spews out of their mouths, it is literal propaganda.
Yes.
And it is unbelievable to me. And I think here's the reason why
Smith and Munson Act.
Here's the reason why it's such a big deal to people, I think, is because no one, honestly, no one was prepared for just how moronic it was going to get and how outlandish it was going to get. I think we all had fun ideas, like a New Yorker cartoon fun idea, but no one was prepared for the day in, day out idiocy that this man says. And like, he comes out and he does this whole transgender travel ban.
He doesn't heard about that one.
Yeah, it's new. It was this morning. He does this whole transgender ban for the military, right? Never talked to anyone in the military about it. The military's like, we haven't gotten
but
any paperwork.
There's no ban.
But no, but that's what I mean, though. So he'll come out and he'll say something like that, and then of course people are going to get upset, of course, granted. And but then nothing actually happened. So it's like, how stupid do you have to be as a person that runs something and go, I'm going to tweet this and then just sit back and ride the wave of rad? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And then all of his people have to then backtrack and come up with these insane things to say that somehow make sense of what he's doing because he's the president. When really, if Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out and just said, I don't know why he tweeted it, he just tweets things, I would be like, oh, she's awesome. I would totally.
But of course, they can't say that.
But I know, that's why they're insane too, because now they have to rationalize this insanity, like the Covfefe things that came out, the Covfefe or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If he would have just come out and said, "Yeah, I messed up,"
I meant coffee.
His initial tweet was, you know, the thing, and then his initial response was, "Only a few people know what I meant," and I thought that was a joke. And I'm like, "Oh, that's funny! Like, yeah, that would be a funny thing to tweet. Like, I messed up, and I'm going to do this little. There's only a select few people that know what the secret
wasn't
of
that,
Covfefe, right?
But wasn't that the?
Was it a joke? He like really meant that?
No,
I swear to God, Trav, because I was blown away because I bought into it immediately. I was like, "This is funny. I get it. Wink, wink." But then he doubled down on it.
But what does it matter?
It matters because he's the president. That's why it matters.
But it doesn't matter to the point of this like aggressive vitriol, shocked response that everyone gives.
But we have to separate those two. I want to get into this. I want to get into the vitriol thing, but I want to cover him first.
But what I'm trying to say is I think that if the vitriol would stop, he would stop.
I just don't agree
with that. That's my thesis.
I
believe that wholeheartedly. Like if you're being mean to me and you enjoy my response of me getting upset about you being mean to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like you punching me or whatever.
Sure,
when he starts hitting people, we should, you know, yeah, be more concerned. But if you're just verbally abusing me and I show you either indifference or love, you know what I mean? And you get joy out of me getting upset, you're going to stop eventually. In my experience in life, that's the best way to counter bullying is to treat them the way that they're not expecting you to be treated. Because if someone is bullying you, they're doing it only because they're insecure. And by making me insecure by bullying me, they make themselves feel more secure. But if that doesn't work, they're not going to do that.
If we all didn't pay attention to him, sure, that would help. But the problem is
responded with sarcasm. Responded with, "Oh, Donald, that is so silly. How dare you?" I mean, not how dare you say that, but, you know, you're so cute when you say stupid things like heel with H-E-E-L.
Yeah. Well, that's how
instead of like, "You're the biggest moron on the planet. Learn how to spell. I can't believe this is 2017. Like, that's another thing I want to get to. The 2017. Guess what? In 2500, whatever the date will be, in 500 years from now, the same kind of crap will be happening.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I mean,
regardless, we're not enlightened today.
Well, here's the thing. Racism, I've said it on this podcast, and I'll say it forever and ever. It will never be solved. Like, no. There never won't be racism. And that's because
people always not like each other.
As humans, yes, as the human nature, we are born into tribes. That's how it is. The fact that on our own, our people decided that they would go, you know, whoever people you belong to decided that they might travel out of their tribes or be brought out of their tribes, as the Africans were during slavery. They were brought away from their tribes into this whole new world.
Or they were sold by one tribe to another.
Or they were sold or whatever. Yeah. But however you were dispersed, that wasn't supposed to happen. That's not how this was all set up.
Well, if you believe
in God, Travis, then you have to agree with that.
What do you mean?
That we were all supposed to stay where we were supposed to stay.
I do?
You have to.
Why? Where is that a thing? Where did that become a rule where you have to stay where you're born?
I don't.
Weren't you born in Ohio?
No, yes, and I shouldn't have been.
You shouldn't be in California.
I should have been born in Ireland.
Get out of here,
one,
you
my
Ohioan.
Skin tone would have.
You dirty Buckeye.
Don't start. One, my skin tone would have appreciated me being born in Ireland. My drinking habits would have appreciated it. My people, the Irish, should have stayed in Ireland.
So you're a total racist
no.
person who thinks everyone should be.
No, I don't think that people should be where they're supposed to be. I'm just saying that, like, as human beings, we were clearly born into areas. Before before travel, you were born into an area.
There was no
correct?
Time before travel.
What? There was.
No, there wasn't. The people have always, since the beginning of humanity, moved from place to place to place and expanded into new areas. Like what we call Native Americans were not magically appear in Americas. They came from Asia, from the Middle East originally, from African areas that the breadbasket of the world or whatever they want to call it, where the earth, where people started, migrated to this part of, they were just first.
Yeah.
But human beings since the beginning of time have been moving from one point to cover the globe.
Okay, whatever. I don't.
And
but well, I'm saying, just going back to what you were saying, that we're a tribalistic being, but, and so
wait, I want to go back to one thing. Sure. It's like, where is it? Does it say that, like, if you're a Christian, you think that everyone should stay in their house?
Genesis.
Okay, good.
Genesis 1.
I'll reread that.
Genesis 1:1.
That's not what it said. But anyway,
yeah, it says everyone stay in your house. Genesis 1:2. Please.
All the light-skinned people head up to the north.
I'm just saying that when we were born as tribalistic people, you can't argue that.
We were born as tribalistic people.
We were born as part of
tribes.
That's
how humanity used to congregate.
But I'm just saying, it's like, here's the thing. Because we're enlightened, I feel like humans try to disassociate themselves from everything else. So it's like, if you take a tiger and you take that tiger out of his tiger tribe and you put him in a bunch of lions, what do you think is going to happen? Probably 9 times out of 10, nothing good. But they're animals, so we can't be like them
no.
at all.
We're all the same species.
Yeah.
So race and species
are different
things.
But tigers and
lions
are the same species.
No, they're not at all.
They're not. What are you talking about?
They're not the same species at all. They're not. They're different. They're totally different species of cats, which is a branch, not
I
a
wish
tribe.
My phone was charged. I would look this up so quickly.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that if you look at somebody who was born a Native American,
okay,
they're what?
No, keep going. I'm listening.
I just feel like they. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. It's beyond the point I was trying to make.
We'll make your point.
All I'm saying is that I believe firmly that human beings are tribalistic people. Whether that is a good thing or a bad thing, that's what it is. I believe. And so we integrate and we move and I don't think that's wrong by any means. I don't care about any of that. Like, all I'm saying is that those instincts are always going to be inside of us. That's why racism will always exist. It's not something that you can cure, because you are always going to be have this little nugget inside of you. And unless, you know, you truly believe in the evolution of the species, that's like thousands of years away, that we would all be like one gray color or something, you know what I mean, or one tan color, and that's what we're all going to be, which, who knows, that could be the possibility. I don't know. But like, that kind of a transition is so far away. So I have to go with, okay, well, my daughter, she's born. We will never teach her to discriminate, because that's just not what we believe in, and there's no reason for it. And hopefully she'll grow up in a different situation than possibly I grew up in, although, you know, I didn't grow up in a bad situation. I have no problems with races. I don't care. But like, we're all the same people. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like there's still going to be this instinctual thing where when you see somebody protest and say, well, the white people deserve this, like, a lot of white people do kind of go like, yeah. Like, you
really?
Know what I mean? You don't think so?
I mean, there are some that do. But what you're saying is, like, in my mind, you're kind of bringing up what I think is the biggest problem.
Humans.
No. Groups.
Sure.
Because what you're kind of saying and what you said was, like, your drinking habits and your skin tone would be better served in this part of the world.
Yeah.
That is assuming that everyone that is born in that part of the world is exactly like you.
Yeah.
I would say that's not true. Well, I would argue against that.
You're wrong.
Well, that's the basis of racism, is to say, like, oh, so everyone that's born with this color skin automatically has these traits, right? And that's been the case.
Yeah.
The Southern Democrats, ironically, wanted to keep slavery was because their argument was, well, if they're born black, then they have a lower intelligence, they have a stronger body, they can work harder. So that was their argument for it, is that everybody that has this skin color has these traits.
Sure.
That's the argument of white supremacists nowadays.
Yeah, but
and why they want to keep people white is because they're smarter and they have these, you know, they're reasons for insane reasons for thinking that.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that at all. Like, I don't believe that because my skin color and my heritage came from this part of the world that I am a part of that group at all. Like, I'm my own unique individual person, and classifying any part of me based on my birthplace or my heritage is crazy to me. There's a lot of really low EQ, IQ white people.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of really, really high IQ black people.
Yeah.
And just because you come from Asia does not mean you're good at math. And you know what I mean? Like, all these assumptions.
But
that
all Asians are good at math. I mean, that's just.
No, just all Asians are bad drivers. But that's beside the point.
We're joking.
No, I'm not. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is where this problem comes in, because we have gotten so into our groups lately, like so into groups. And I think it's because we've lost our tribal nature. We don't have our tribe to go back on anymore. So people come out of the world like, I don't know where I belong. Oh, I like the same sex. So I'm LGBTQARP or whatever it is. You know, they have to get with that group. But then they get in that group and they're like, well, some people that call themselves part of this group think that. And I don't think that. So am I really in this group? Right.
Yeah,
or Black Lives Matter. Like, yes, of course, Black Lives Matter. But does that mean that every person that can be identified as black fits into the mantra of what Black Lives Matter is pushing? Absolutely not. In fact, after the whole Charleston debacle, I've watched many videos of black people, African-American people, however we're classifying that, come out and say, this is not me. This does not describe me. This is, you know, divide and conquer tactics put out there by, you know, the people that want to keep us all infighting and stuff, that totally disagree with the Black Lives Matter, what they're pushing. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying that our groups are not definable. We don't fit into any one group.
I understand what you're saying. And I just think on a surface level, I just disagree, because I don't think that it's, I'm not saying we're separating by race. I mean,
people are.
No. I'm saying, as far as being human beings and tribalistic, is that, like, I was, you know, Irish people are white, and so are English people, and so are, you know, Jewish people for the most part are white. It's like, we're clearly in different parts of the world. You know what I mean? So it's not like, I don't think it's, I wasn't separating it by race. I'm separating it by the people who were, the people who spent centuries in Ireland, you know, clearly became accustomed to that climate. The people who spent centuries in America, the Native Americans, clearly became accustomed to that life and that, and whatever it took to live in that climate. I just think that that's pretty natural.
Became accustomed to bad food.
And I'm not saying, yeah, you got a point. Irish too. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that those are instinctual things, and we pride ourselves on those instinctual things. So that's why they'll never go away, because that's the thing, is you can't say, I don't believe that you can say we're all equal, everyone's great, and then the next day you're an American, but you're from, you know, Ireland, and you wave an Irish pride flag. You can't do that, because then you're immediately taking yourself out of the everyone is equal, we're
exactly.
all one group,
exactly.
and saying that, no, I really, though, I'm Irish and I only support Irish pride. You can't, I mean, it's like, you just can't do one and the other at the same time. You are giving yourself this little group, like you said, and that's your little group, and that's who you belong to. My frustration with the vitriol on the left, or the progressives, or whatever you want to call it, is that
the Antifa?
And I mean, the same thing goes for the right on this too. And I've said this on this podcast before.
Oh yeah, there was so much outrage over everything Obama did too.
Oh, there was.
And there was only one thing or two things they should have been outraged about, which I was. I was correctly outraged.
You were. And yeah. There's been
Obamacare is the worst thing ever.
That's not true.
That's the reason to be outraged.
That's not true.
Yes.
Healthcare is the worst thing.
Almost had a nervous breakdown over it. Earlier this year, but that's beside the point.
Healthcare is the worst thing.
True. And the fact that we're forced to pay for it makes it even worse.
Well, I mean, some people agree with that.
Okay. But keep going. You know what I'm saying.
All I'm saying is that the problem I have is that when and this is a lack of leadership, especially on the Democratic side, because there isn't any. If
Nancy Pelosi is doing a great job, Dallas. Did you hear her speech this last week? It was beautiful. She couldn't even get it down right. It was like
Elizabeth Warren is basically just Donald Trump on the other side at this point. Like, she's much smarter and much more successful, like legitimately successful.
But she's insane.
But she's insane, and she just spends her days on Twitter fighting him on Twitter. And I'm like, girl, you got to take a step back.
Because, you know, this is the summer of resistance, right?
Yeah, I know.
But Nancy Pelosi kept saying, resistance summer or something backwards.
Yeah, we've talked about her.
She couldn't get it right, and I was dying.
She needs to retire so quickly. But the problem is that when you call somebody a bigot, you're a bigot. That's the meaning of the term. Like, when you go after somebody for something that they're doing, like when you go, oh, I hate you, or I hate this.
I hate that you said that.
And then the next thing you do is like, you know, love Trump's hate. Well, it didn't for you, did it?
You did not put that into practice.
You can't, like, that's the problem, is that people think because they're on the right side, which they very well may be for everything. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
If there is a right side.
If there is one. They think that gives them carte blanche to be like, well, I hate you. And I can say that because I'm on the right side. But you can't say hate. You can't say hate because you're on the wrong side. But I can say I'm on the right side.
Which is what we've experienced at least last week. This week I haven't been paying as much attention. But last week, that was like the thing, right? Because I don't want to cut off what you're saying.
No, I mean, that was pretty much what I was saying, was that I just think that, like, you can, there's so much bigotry and no one wants to admit that it's them.
They're the bigot.
But if anyone says it, like, by definition of the word, you calling someone that makes you one. And no one wants to admit that. And it's fine if you can admit that. I don't mind. If you're like, well, yeah, I'm a bigot because I don't like this person. Then there you go. Fine. Yes. Cool. Then, like, that's fine with me. But, like, people want to be so PC, and so I am accepting of all things except for this.
Yes.
Then you can't be accepting of all things.
Right. I'm tolerant, but I will not tolerate these things.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you should. Please don't get me wrong. I am not saying that you should tolerate white supremacy, because you definitely shouldn't. Like, I'm all for beating the crap out of those Nazis.
Really?
Oh, 1,000%. The fact that they didn't get the crap kicked out of them is so insulting to my whole... I grew up a punk.
But what would that solve?
I grew up a punk rocker. A punk rocker. And do you know how many times at punk rock shows I got punched in the face by some stupid Nazi, and then we all kicked the crap out of him and they never came back?
But he punched the...
We live in a violent society. We live in a violent world. Get over it. If you ever think that we're all going to come together and hug each other, then just move to a small island by yourself.
No, but
it's never going to happen ever.
I don't have to move to a small island by myself, but I can not respond with violence.
You don't have to fight a Nazi, but I will.
I can't, but I can fight a Nazi, but not with violence. That's what all I'm saying.
With what grammar?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you beat up a Nazi, all that does is empower them.
Oh, yeah, but I don't care.
If you're going to do that, kill them.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. If you want to say, call someone a bigot, then you're a bigot. I will call them bigots, and I'm a bigot. I don't support them. I don't think that they're right. I think that they've done horrible things. And that's why, for me, when Trump comes out and says what he says and then doubles down on it 2 days later about there is good people on both sides, the argument against that is a very, very valid one, where even if you were a good person on that march and then noticed that 25% of the people there were waving Nazi flags, I would just leave the march. Like, I wouldn't want a picture where in the background of the picture of me and my friends who aren't white supremacists were a bunch of white supremacists. Like, it's just it's just knowledge. It's
totally
just being smart and being aware.
Totally.
So whether that was the case or not is irrelevant, because they didn't have the forethought to leave the situation if they were good people. But do you understand, for me, that I know you, because I don't know what your feelings on the Charlottesville thing were.
Oh, I thought it was the most glorious day in American history, Dallas.
I thought, for me, going and like just looking at it and going, all you had to do was say that you don't support Nazis. That's all he had to do. He literally didn't have to say anything else. He didn't have to say another word. He could have just come out and said, what's happening in Charlottesville right now is terrible. We're getting to the bottom of what's happening right now. I do not condone Nazis and white supremacists. This is a terrible situation, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. Walk away. That's all he had to do. But he can't do it. Like, he can't do it because he's a moron.
He doesn't know what
he's doing.
I agree.
And so that is, to answer your earlier question, what does it matter? That's what it matters. When the fact that Angela Merkel is now the most powerful person in the world, it matters.
How?
She's the most powerful person when it comes to democracy in the world. He's not even a close second. Trudeau is the second.
Why does that matter?
You don't think it matters?
I do not.
I mean, you know what? Maybe it doesn't. You're right.
Until you prove me wrong, the things that have mattered are what people should be, their vitriol reaction should be to what Trump is doing in Afghanistan. That's where we should get pissed off about.
Oh, the latest thing he just came out and said?
Yes, yeah. Where he's continuing the war. That is insane to me, and that's what gets me angry. And I wish I wouldn't have tweeted or put on Facebook what I did about, you know, you all need to stop talking about Trump every day, because 2 days later he came out with his Afghanistan stuff, and I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah, well, Paul Ryan and
but going back
doubled
to this,
down on that last
going back
night.
To this, and what those guys did was not only stupid, but hateful and wrong.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. But let's look at it in the relevancy of what's going on, not only in our country, but in the world. And do you honestly think the response to 300 idiotic white dudes carrying tiki torches, which is so ironic can't even handle it.
Unbelievable.
Is something that we should even like discuss. 300 people. It's like, how can that be something that gets us this outraged? How? It is so an overreaction. Such an overreaction to something that if it was totally ignored would have not been a deal.
But there's no going back though, Trav. That's the world we live in.
No, there's no going back, but the lesson that can be learned. And we're not learning the lesson. All we're doing is we're tripling down on this vitriol reaction, which is so out of proportion to reality.
Well, the reaction to it is, I mean, listen, I get you should hate it. Like I just said, I would punch a Nazi in the face. I don't care. I understand that you want to hate it.
I would hug a Nazi and says, I would say, God loves you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And then
it works better.
You could get a hug from you and turn around and punch him in the face. But like,
good. You do that on one side. And they'll do the other.
But like,
here's your two options.
Yeah, it's like that Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade.
Yeah,
she punches Sean Connery and kisses Indy.
Yeah.
I just feel that because of social media, and this isn't me being I'm an old man, but because of social media and the immediacy of everything. There's no going back. This is now what the world is overreactions. I mean, remember when John McCain got his brain tumor? Everyone was like, oh my God, John McCain, what a hero, what a service person. 2 days later, he goes and he votes for the healthcare reform thing.
Or doesn't.
No. He did first. Remember, he voted for it to go to vote or something.
And then he was the one.
And then everyone was like, he's a moron. He's a horrible. Die of your cancer. Go die of your cancer, you horrible person. Yes. I can't believe you're still alive. He shouldn't even be allowed to vote. He's dying. His brain's not working, blah, 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 blah. For 2 days, he's the worst person in the world. And then he votes no. John McCain's a hero. Yo, like, it's all immediacy. So we live in a world where that is what is happening now. So maybe you can learn a lesson from it, but it's going to have to be your individual lesson. It's nothing that's going to be taught to the entire nation. We're past that point.
No, well, that's what this podcast is for.
And you would think a competent leader could maybe nip these things in the bud. That's where it matters.
When have we had a competent leader in the last...
I know you don't like Obama, but I
think don't like Obama. I didn't like Bush. I did not like Clinton.
I'm not saying it was a Democrat.
We had a president in my coming of age in politics who was getting blowjobs in the Oval Office. Yeah. That's not leadership.
Disagree. I think Obama
did not have sexual relations with that woman. Is that leadership? And
no,
I'm not trying to here's what I want to be clear about. I'm not trying to like make Trump seem less bad. I'm not. I'm trying to get an example of when we have had a leadership in my lifetime.
I think that Bill Clinton led by examples of getting things done until the last probably 2 years of his presidency, like when it was a mess because
killing
of Bosnia
30 or 4,000, yes,
and all that stuff.
That was was the middle of his presidency.
But up until that point, he financially was one of the greatest presidents we've had in the modern era.
No.
Yes.
No.
Balanced the budget so much so that Bush gave it all away.
We have had this conversation a billion
and
freaking
you
times.
Will never
he did
me.
Not do it.
Yes,
you have alternative facts. Because
that's okay to have these.
The Congress is the one who passes the budget.
But you, yes, but
Newt Gingrich, love him or hate him, is the one responsible for balancing
the
budget.
I have nothing wrong with Newt Gingrich. Back then, I had nothing wrong with Newt Gingrich. Now he's just an old man.
It doesn't matter. We're getting way off topic. But I'm just saying we have not had competent leadership, and our acceptance of incompetent leadership for the last 40 years, at least, and I can't speak any further than that because I wasn't alive.
Yeah,
but has not been competent. Reagan was not competent. When you're looking back at history, all the bad things he did, Star Wars, you know, laser beams shooting Russian missiles out of the sky. Give me a break. It's almost, we're like at 45 minutes.
No, what time is it though? Literally.
Oh, literally. What time is it? It is 5:23.
Okay. We got to wrap up because we have the next one's in here at 5:30.
Right.
Sorry. I didn't mean to pause in there.
Not at all.
I understand what you mean by competent leadership. I get it. 100%. I get it. My problem with this is that
you don't like his style.
It's not a style. I don't like his intelligence level. And I don't like that we got to a point where people were so fed up with everything that this is what we wound up with. I don't like that.
But that's because we're not addressing the issue. We're not listening to what each other are saying.
100%.
We're going to get here. But why get so upset about the fact that we're here? Why not just like accept it and move on?
I've been trying I want to tell you something right
it's
now.
It's been almost a year since we knew this dude was going to be screwing up our
country. Let me tell you this, and then maybe we'll have to end, and you can give me your feedback on it.
Okay.
And this is something for everybody out there, I think. because we don't know when we're going to do another one of these. So maybe let this be your parting shot until we talk again. I have been trying to wrap my head around this for the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a firm believer that and we've talked about this a million times, very, very few. It's not often the president actually makes the decision and he's the one who gets everything done. It's very.
And if that is not obvious about the Afghanistan decision, like yeah. He totally has the biggest flip flop I've ever seen.
And no one knows what's going on with that stuff unless there's a major war like 9/11. Happened, Bush was forced to immediately make a decision that was going to be the kind of the course of action. So unless something like that happens, it's very rare that a president takes command. You know what
correct.
I mean? So I've been trying to wrap my head around Trump, what I hate about him, what I love about him, if there's anything to
there's
love.
There's not much to love, except when he plays tennis.
Except that
he's
making everybody so angry that states are actually starting to do their own thing, which makes me so proud of the states.
Yes.
But I don't understand, like I just said, it's hard for me to grasp why people voted for him, why they did what they did, why we're here. That is the hardest part for me. And I have spent the last probably 3 weeks in like heavy contemplation about it to the point where like I don't know what to do as a citizen. And I'm like, you know, I've always had this dream of being an actor and being a comedian and doing that thing. Like I've had that dream. But will my life be better served to those around me by ignoring that and actually trying to get involved in politics? Because the fact that we've let ourselves get to this point, like you just said, is a breakdown on so many levels.
Correct.
And if we continue down this road, it's only going to get worse and we're only going to get more hateful of each other.
Correct.
And if you're on the left and you're listening to this right now, if you experience any kind of hate or sadness or anger towards the right, you are just as bad as the right. Emotionally, you are just as bad as the right. And like I've said before, I do not believe the opposite of hate is love. And the situation we're in right now, the opposite of hate is understanding. If you can understand where your opponent is coming from, then you can actually do something about it.
Right.
But if you refuse to understand where they're coming from, then you cannot have a real reaction or a real emotion towards it. You're just going
to
hate it.
You have to have empathy.
So I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
Well, we need to do another one of these soon then.
But this is basically like, I think of Ron Paul when I think of what I'm about to say.
Oh, gosh.
Because his big thing was the reason why there's terrorists is because we've radicalized most of them to be terrorists with the horrible actions we've done in the Middle East, which I firmly believe to be true. You can see why somebody in the Middle East might be radicalized by the terrible things America has done to their countries. We've leveled Iraq. It's not a country anymore because we bombed it. You might get a little upset. The people on the left right now are really they're letting themselves be radicalized by their hatred for Trump and his followers.
Yes.
Just like the white supremacists let themselves be radicalized and violent to the point of one of them murdering somebody because of their hatred for whatever. And their hatred of anything not white. So now I feel like
ironically was a white girl, but that's so insane.
I feel like I'm being radicalized, but possibly and hopefully into a position of actually trying to do something about it rather than just spewing hate.
Right. Well, and I think we should keep doing this podcast because even though I didn't vote for Trump, didn't want him to be president with every fiber of my body,
yeah.
I think I can help explain why he got elected.
I'd love to hear.
Because I have thought a lot about it too.
Well, it's Everything's Fine. I'm Dallas.
I'm Travis.
You can follow us on Twitter if you still want to. We'd never tweet.
I do.
Oh, you do?
I mean, not from Everything's Fine.
Oh. Well, you can follow us on Twitter then personally, at Dallas_MC.
At Civart. In fact, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, but we didn't have time.
No.
Is I had my most liked tweet in my history.
Wow.
And I've been on Twitter now for 10 years.
What, 4 likes?
I got 100, over 100 likes.
Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you.
I know. I went after the writer of House of Cards.
Oh.
So it was like a popular thread already, and then my statement blew up.
Yeah, I did one of those with Paul Ryan, and I got like 200 likes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I called him the Tessio of politics. It was a great, great tweet.
So follow the Everwise at Civart.
Yeah, and at Dallas_MC. And you know, we'll be back at some point. And
yeah.
We appreciate you guys listening, and we'll try to do another one of these.
Bye.
Go Padres.
Turn around. and then I get a little bit lonely, and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your
Turn
eyes.
Around.
Total eclipse of the heart.